verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, you know what, a sacrifice, when you present that, there is nothing that's left for you. You have no claim, no rights. You give it up to the Lord, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. And was that word reasonable? There's a little number. Rational? Yeah. Reasonable service. And be not conformed. See the word? Be not conformed. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. See, that's the purpose of God, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are to be transformed from this world. Said, be not conformed to this world. So it says, but be ye transformed. So when we are transformed from this world, we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. By how do we do this? You see, it's not the flesh. It's not the flesh. But it's the mind that God is working on by the renewing of your mind, right? That mind has to be renewed, a new mind. It has to be renewed. It's the mind that's renewed in the image of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, said that he being in the form of God, right? Taught it not robbery. It's that's in Philippians, to be equal with God. Is that the second or the third chapter of Philippians? That is a wonderful scripture, when Christ taught it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Chapter. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was found in the fashion of a man. That's his humanity. When he was found in the fashion of a man, verse 7, chapter 2, Philippians 2:6. Verse 6. Verse 5, let this mind be in you. And verse 4 is wonderful also. He said, look not every man on his own things. It's powerful. You have to get your eyes off yourself, your self-worth, who you are. But every man also on the things of others. Then verse 5, let this mind be in you. See, when you yield yourself to the Lord, and you are transformed, but not conformed to this world. When you are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That was a mind of humility. He humbled himself. Remember? Humility. He humbled himself. Lucifer never had that. Lucifer said, I will, I will, I will. But here was Jesus Christ being exalted in the form of God the Father. But it says that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That's in Isaiah 9, when he became a man, he was born. John says the word was made flesh. and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm the servant. He was a servant of Jesus Christ. Phoebe was a servant of the church in Cenchrea. And for us to take on this image, we have to be servants. Not want to be served, but we become servants of the church. We have to be servant of the church. And he said he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, came through a virgin. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, no one take my life from me, but I lay down my life. He gave his life for the sheep. Jesus laid his life down. He said, because I laid my life down, I have power to lay it down and power to take it up. Greater love than this hath no man, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And even when we were at enmity with God, with Christ, God gave himself. Christ came into the world. God gave his only begotten Son because he loved us. For God so loved the world. So being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? Because of this. Because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death because of this. Because he took the form of a man. I mean, he was in the form of God already. He was already at the at the right hand of God. He was with his Father from everlasting. He came from everlasting, from the bosom of the Father. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He knew no sin. There was no sin in Jesus Christ. But it says, wherefore, because of this, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I mean, God gave him his own very name. See? God exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Principalities, powers, rulers. Jesus Christ has a name above every name. And tonight, it's this exalted name that we stand in. God gave him a name, and he gave us his name. He says, in my name, you shall. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. See, we have that name tonight. We have the name, and we are also called by his name. Says verse 10, said that at the name, look at that, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Are you bowing your knees? Have you bowed your knees? See, this is a scripture that you can fulfill right now. You don't want to wait until the judgment when you're forced to bow, but you bow tonight because you love him. Because you worship him. Because you know he's the Savior. Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. See that we should get that fear and that respect right now in our hearts. that there's nothing inside of us that's challenging that name. Amen. We don't have any questions. We don't have anything inside of us that's challenging that precious name. Amen. That holy name, that blessed name. What a lovely name. Tell me his name. And sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of the only, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, says here that at his name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How are you going to? How are they going to do it? How are we going to do it? Not well. Jesus is Lord. You know, we do it careless. We have no feelings. We just do it, and there's no feeling there. Like, you know, there's no love there. But it's going to be to the glory of God. Amen. See, God's going to get glory out of all of his creation. That doesn't mean all of his creation will be saved. But somehow, I don't know how he'll do it, but he will get glory. Amen. And they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And someone said, see there? You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and you're the one that work it out. See, I can work it out. I present myself to God. I come to God when I want to. My free will, but you ought to read the Bible. See, sometimes we read the Bible and we come short. We cut it off and we hear what we want to hear and we stop at where we want to stop. But if you read it, says it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But look at verse 13. Put the emphasis and verse 13 says, read it. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But put the emphasis on chapter 2, verse 13 of Philippians says, let me hear it. For it is God. For who? For it is God. Who? God. See, you present yourself to God a living sacrifice. And God works in you. Okay? He said, for it is God which worketh in you, two things. Both. Both, one, to will and to do. See, God, yeah, you might will something, but you're not able to do it. But when God wills something, he's also able to do it. Yeah. So it is God that worketh in you. Yes. Who? God. But he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But then he goes on, don't stop there. He says, but it's God. If you could only remember that. But it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of what? Of his good pleasure. Because We were created for his good pleasure in Revelation 4:11. Look at that. Revelation, somebody just read that for me and stay right here. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Very, very, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." So who? What did he do? He's created all things. Why did he create all things? For his pleasure. Well, why does he work in you? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not your pleasure. It's not you, your pleasure. Well, what about me? Well, what about you? Huh? What about you? What about you? It's God that creates you for his good pleasure. You didn't create yourself. You did not create yourself. You were created. We were created for a purpose. What is that purpose? For God's good pleasure. That's all. That's all you was created for. For God's good pleasure. We were created. Are you jealous? Are you upset? You think you're created for yourself? That you can do whatever? I'll pray if I want to. I'll do it if I want to. Is that right? So the scripture we read says that every knee shall bow. Why? Why? And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Why? Because God says it. Because we were created for that purpose. And whether we do it willingly or by force, it's going to be done. But God is going to get the glory. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is that powerful? Then here's, I like this. Then do all things. What? Bow your knees. Submit to God. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and submit yourself. Go ahead and yield yourself to God and let God complete the work in you. Amen. Let him do what he created you for. Without murmuring, complaining, disputings, questionings, doubts, unbelief, that you may be blameless and harmless. That means there won't be anything inside of you that challenging the order of God, that you will be innocent, that you will not, no one can point a finger at you, that you will not be judged. There will not be unbelief and resistance inside of you resisting the order of God. God, when he tries you, you'll come forth as pure gold because you're fully yielded to the Lord. You were not made for yourself. Something lies to us and tell us that, I belong to myself. But we were created for the Lord, for his good pleasure. And it says that you may be blameless and harmless. Here's what you were doing, Donna. Without disputing, without resisting. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. When he found himself in human form, he humbled himself. And the same thing goes for us. When you realize by the word of God why you were created for the good pleasure of God, you humble yourself without disputing, without murmuring, without resisting, without complaining. But you say, Lord, work in me. And as Romans tells us that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That where am I? Verse 15. That you may be blameless. That's powerful. Yes. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Do you understand? When we let this mind be in us that was in Christ, when God writes his law, his words in our heart, what would be the end result? We will be conformed to the image of God. We will be sons of the living God. Sons of God. Without rebuke. Where? Where? Where are you going to live for God? When you get to heaven? No, right now. Right now. It's not tomorrow. When I get over in glory, then I will live. It's right now, tonight. Right now, in this crooked world, the Bible said, in a crooked and perverse nations, among whom we shine. Let me go back up to 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine. Look, a light, a city, a light. You shine as lights in the world. Right now, you're the light of the world. And right in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as light. Praise God. That's awesome, isn't he? Holding forth
the word of life.
What do you hold forth?
The word of life.
Holding forth the word of life.
Yes.
That I may rejoice in the day of Christ.
Amen.
When Paul meets you in the day of Christ, you'll have the light shining. You'll be holding on to the light.
Amen.
That's Jesus Christ. You'll be holding on to the word of life. That I may rejoice in the day, that's the millennium, the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yea, and it, if I be offered up on the sacrifice of your service, service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all for the same cause also. Do ye joy and rejoice. Amen? In me, with me. Then it goes on. Go back to Romans 12, verse 2. See what it says? That? Not conformed, but be transformed. Have the same mind of Christ by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when your mind is renewed, remember we had that old mind? We were sometimes darkness and enmity in our minds and strangers from the covenant of promise, from the commonwealth of God, but now we are citizens. And we have the mind of Christ. How do we get this? By the Word, by the Holy Spirit, the renewing. That means you got to let God work in you. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what is the good pleasure of God? To make us sons of God. That Jesus would bring many sons unto glory. So he made the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. So now, the renewing of our minds is that new nature, that divine mind, the mind of Christ, the mind of his in Christ. We are supposed to have that mind, and it's only God that can work it in us.
Amen.
God must work in us the mind of Christ by writing the law, his word, the by the finger of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
to write his law inside of us, to change our nature, giving us the divine nature of God.
Amen.
Wonderful work.
Yes.
That you cannot do it yourself. But we are supposed to present ourselves. And you get before God and say, Lord, I want to cast off the work of darkness. I want to change. I want to turn. Turn me, Lord. I cannot turn myself. But I want you to draw me. And we will run after you. I want you to bring me into your banqueting house. And let me see your banner over me, which is love. That's the love of God, for God so loved the world. Let me see it, Lord. Open my eyes that I might see, in my hearing that I might hear. Help me right here. Said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by how? The renewing. See that word renewing? To be born again from above. Regenerate. That regenerating power of God of our mind. Renewal. Okay? Of our minds. God has to take away that old mind and put that new mind. That's the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Be not conformed, but be transformed. How do we change? By the transforming, renewing of our mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember we touch it? For it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do. So here now, he has to renew your mind so you will prove what is that good, my, and acceptable, hallelujah, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't lift yourself up. Don't get up before the Lord and exalt yourself. Me, my, I. Your self-worth, your self-importance. Don't do that. Don't do that. You'll miss God. And you will die without a Savior, without a hope. Because you cannot save yourself. You cannot bring yourself back. You cannot sustain yourself through eternity. Or even get in the kingdom without God. But it says, but how should you think? Soberly. According as God had dealt to every man. Notice, to every man a measure of faith. Praise God. God, I mean, every man a measure of faith. It's up to you what you do with it. For as we have many members in one body. Right? You have your eyes, nose, name it, mouth, fingers, you name it. The many members in one natural body. So in the body of Christ also. And all members have not the same office, right? Can your feet do what your eye is supposed to do?
No.
Okay. Each part
have his own
function. For, verse, they have their own office or function.
So we,
being many, are one body in Christ. We being many, I mean many individuals, but yet we make up one body, and he's the head. Whether you're in Africa, wherever you are, Australia, anywhere in the world, you're the body of Christ. We are members one of another. And you have a different office. So when you try to be what you're not called by God to be, you're going to get in trouble. When you try to take another person's office, you're going to be something else. Then verse, so we having many members are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, so members, body parts, different gifts, that's in the spirit now, according to the grace that is given to us. God measures it out to us. You already have what you're supposed to do. But when you let your gifts, your office, what you're supposed to do, you put it under a stone, a bushel. You hide it, and you will not use it, your talents. Having then gifts different to the according to the grace that is given to us, whether what? Prophecy. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now remember now, he's talking to the Gentile church, Romans. Just like what? Ephesians? All these, most of these church, Colossae, are Gentile churches. God did a wonderful work among the Gentile nation for 2,000 years. But he said that after this, he's going to return after the visit is over and rebuild the tabernacle of David that is torn down. He's going to do that. And, but working among the Gentiles, he is given gifts when the scripture said when he ascended and I. Read Ephesians. He led captivity captives and gave gifts to men. The Psalms prophesied about it. Ephesians 4 tells us the work that God placed among the Gentiles was that we would to open their eyes, Acts 26. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, turn them to God, that they might have an inheritance among the saints. Now that inheritance is not houses or cars or so, but it's to be in the nature of God. See that mystery, which is Christ in you, our inheritance. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, if it's just material things, houses. When I get to heaven, there's a mansion, you know, a natural house. Then we're missing the point, because that's not what it's about. Amen. When God's working in us, he's not working inside to prepare us to inherit some houses upstairs. But it's to be like him. Amen. That we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we might be transformed, and we that we may be found in the likeness of Jesus Christ, that we might be found in his fashion, in his image. Okay? He was in the form of God, but he found himself in the form of man. And we are in the form of man, but we are to find ourselves in the form of God. Hallelujah. Amen. To be like him. But he had to leave that glory to become like us. And we have to leave our sins. We have to leave our nature to become like him. He had to leave and give up something. We also have to give up something.
Yes. Hallelujah.
To become like him. So verse, what verse? 7? Verse 7, chapter 12.
Yes.
Our ministry.
Let us wait
on our ministry. Don't push yourself. as if, well, God has forgotten you. No, he knows where you are. You don't have to take somebody's position, destroy someone to take their position. That would be working iniquity. Or he that exhorted on exhortation. You have to wait till your ministry is developed. He that teacheth. Exhort, teaching. Okay. Or he that teacheth on teaching. I mean, God will bring you. You don't have to force it and try to be it. God will bring you into that ministry. Or he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You just put that check or whatever it's without holding up, let everybody see, announcing it. You give it silent and in secret. Okay? Liberality. Liberal. E that ruleth with diligence. E that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Don't get up there with hard, tough spirit, but talk to your brothers and your sisters with the right spirit. Don't get up there and, yes, they missed it. You don't agree with them. Maybe they didn't, but you just don't agree with them. And you just rake them over the coal. You just bully them and you just, I mean, don't do that. So they missed it. And you claim that you're working for God, but look at the spirit you're showing. Huh? You don't even treat your brothers and your sister tenderly. You can correct, but with a sweetness about you, a cheerfulness about you. Don't you go calling names and then you go and begin to dig up all your past and tell them who they are and what you did for them. You ain't done nothing for them. And what you do cannot save them. See, when you come in that hard spirit, but you have to show the love of God in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves if God pre-adventure will give them repentance. Amen. So the next verse says, let love be without dissimulation. What is that? Hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave. There. Cleave. To that which is good. You know, sometimes we got to be careful because the human nature will tend to that which is evil instead of that which is good. Be kindly. Affection. One to another. I'm showing you the message that Paul preached among the Gentiles. The Gentiles had powerful light. A message. Present your bodies, a living sacrifice. Let God consume you that there'll be none of you left to go back to the world. Give it all to the Lord. Be not conformed to this world, but go all the way, temple worship. Be transformed by the renewing. Can you see that church that came out of the upper room and went to the Gentile world? Huh? Went all the way into the Holy of Holies. Amen. They went all the way into the Holy of Holies. And Revelation tells us Christ was among them. Christ walked among them. You remember the seven golden candlesticks? They were golden. Hallelujah. Seven golden candlesticks. And one walk among them. Revelation tells us. He saw one walking among the seven golden candlesticks. Eyes like a flame of fire. Nothing could resist or survive. Feet like burning brass. Had on a long white robe, belt, golden girdle. Look at all that. Hair was mature. There was a maturity among that church. And a pureness and a knowledge against the early church. Even among the Gentiles. That measure all the way. Amen. And Jesus had to correct all of those things that was coming short. And tell them to repent or else. But things begin to come into the early church. And they begin to lose the measure. See, just like right now. Very few churches measure up in the world today. Very few. We've lost it. And therefore it's more of a court worship with the Gentiles trotting on their feet. Anything just presented to God. No temple worship. You understand that? See, it was given to the Gentiles. And they trample on their feet. Remember? Trample on their feet the things of God. And turn around and rend you. You can't give that which is holy to those that don't appreciate it. But we the church need to get back to temple worship. Amen. The reed, the rod, measuring it. The length, the breadth, the depth, the height, and to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. See, how did they get there? We're reading some of these things. There was a teaching. There was something that was deposited in the hearts of those saints, the Bereans. What did they do? They searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. I mean, though the early church, they begged that the word would be preached to them. They rejoiced when they heard the word of God. They were glad when they heard that to the Gentiles was given repentance. We don't even, nothing shake us. Some of us in today's church, because we hear it over and over and we don't respond. See, but what God did in the past, he'll do it again. You go back and begin to read some of those reformers, men and women that died at the stake as martyrs. Fed to the lions, to animals. But they would not deny their faith. We just, some of us just give it up. No fighting, no resisting. But we have to resist the devil. And he will flee. And we've got the same power tonight as the early church had. But what we have to do is mix it with faith. See? And not let unbelief, like what happened to Israel in Romans 9 and Romans 10 and verse and 11, chapter 11, those three chapters. They heard the word, they had the word, but it was not mixed with faith. There was unbelief. In Hebrews, Romans also tells us that, 11. Romans 11, go to verse 20, read that quickly down for me in closing. Why were they broken off? That's all. Unbelief, what do you and I have? Belief or unbelief? Do you have faith or unbelief? I don't believe that. No, but your action, your body language. You can say it with your lips. But it's your action, what you do. It's more than just saying it with your lips. It's your heart. The lips can say anything. But Israel, read on. They were broken off from the true olive because of unbelief, and the Gentiles was brought in because they sought it by faith and not by works. But you stand, we were brought in by faith. Next verse says, that's what we were touching, be not high-minded. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not, you know, we sometimes, oh no, I get away from it. No, you don't. Really? You're just deceiving yourself. For if God spared not, the natural branch, that's the nation. A whole I mean, before Jesus Christ came, they were scattered from the days of Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And when Christ came, they rejected him. And what happened? Unbelief. 2,000 years. The natural branch. He said, if God spared not the natural branch, take heed. Lest he spare not thee. Next verse. Behold therefore the goodness. Alright, notice. The goodness and severity of God. Then Paul is going to explain this. On them which fell, severity, but towards thee goodness. If thou continue. That goodness only applies if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off. That's clear. That's clear. You'll be cut off from the millennium. From the kingdom. And they also, notice what's going on. If they abide not, still, in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now, here's the danger coming down here. The Gentile church was measured all the way to temple worship. But now, Revelation 11, I'm preaching what the Bible said. The measure is the outer court. So something is going on. It, because Christ is only, God's only visiting the Gentiles. And then he's to return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is torn down. He said, will the Gentile be saved? Of course. I mean, you read it. That the residue of men may seek after it. But he's returning to Israel and rebuild, and then he's to sit upon the throne of his father David, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and that's the establishment of the millennium kingdom. And that's where we're heading, to show you these things. But the wonderful mysteries that was given to the early church, they had it. Paul rejoiced when he heard of their fate. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, when he was speaking about the man of sin, but then he goes on, he said, but we are beloved, we are bound to give God to give thanks for you, who had from the beginning were chosen by God to salvation. That's awesome. True sanctification of the Spirit. And there's a word, belief of the truth. So they had it, a wonderful word. And the word was sounded out to the ends of the world. These men that have turned the world upside down have come unto us. But you see, as time went on, things begin to creep in. Ephesus lost the first love. They suffered that woman, Jezebel, Balaam, all those old spirits begin to penetrate. Jude tells us, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. See, so the early church, I can go through and show you the mystery and the power of God and how Christ was dwelling there. He was seen among the golden candlestick. The churches measured up. But as time went by, he began to lose that. And martyrdom crept in, and the early church started to go out of existence, and men began to take over that didn't understand. Okay? Perilous times. And we found ourselves at the end of the image, clay and iron mixed together, very brittle. And we found ourselves, but thank God for a stone that's hewn out of a mountain. Amen. That's going to restore and replace. Amen. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Thank God, upon this rock I will build my church. So let me close here. Did I finish verse in 12, Romans? Or let me go to Romans then. Okay? Let me go back to Romans instead. 11, verse 24, 25. Quickly, 24. For if thou were cut out, verse 24, if thou were cut out of the olive tree, and I'm going to close here, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these? In other words, God, the Bible is saying God, it's easier for God to bring them back, the natural branches, than it was for him to graft in the wild ones. But he did it. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that he should be ignorant of this mystery. But you know what? Most of us are. We don't even know it's in there. You've got to understand that this world, there's not a lot of people that love the Bible. They don't love the Bible. They love natural things more. How many is fighting about the Bible and defending the Bible? But they're crazy about sports and the things of the world. I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant. So, you must study if you don't want to be ignorant, to be a wise virgin of this mystery. It's a mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel for how long? Don't be ignorant of this. That's what I was saying. It's moving to the outer court. Until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. So all Israel shall be saved. As it is written. Hallelujah. Wish I had time. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Hold your finger right there and go to Psalms 14. I'll give you one scripture. Psalms 14, verse 7. Quickly, hurry. And we come back right here in closing. Go to Psalms 14, verse 7. Read that loud. The what? Oh. That's in the Psalms. Oh, that the salvation of Israel was come out of Zion. Where? The salvation. Who is the salvation?
Jesus,
the deliverer. And the psalmist is praying that he was looking for the deliverer, Jesus, out of Zion. And that's the same place where we are heading. To Mount Zion. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. There it is. There it is. Go back to where I was a while ago. Romans 11. So, go back to the next verse. 25, is it? Where did I just read? 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, I just show you where it's written. And I have more places I could show you. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, their unbelief, their sins, as concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For as in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. What an awesome God. Even so, these also now not believe that through your mercies, they also may obtain mercy. They're coming back. For who? For God had concluded them all in unbelief. Why? That he might have mercy upon all. Oh, come on, say. Oh. Don't question God. Don't have unbelief. You're full of unbelief. Oh, instead of you amazing and getting excited of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, you're questioning. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable. So, you know, don't try to figure it out. You use your little brain to try. Let me see now. Let me see. Come on, you just. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So you're not going to get very far. For who had known the mind of the Lord, or who had been his counselor? Nobody. Or who had first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever and forever and forever. Amen. Word without end.